It has been a while, and my voice has slowly been recovering from whatever that was, whether allergies or something else. And so I'm still a little tickly in my throat, but hopefully I can get through this without coughing. I've been contemplating making this podcast for a few days now, and finally I was like, you know what, let's do this. The Lord has just been pressing so much on my heart lately, and I want to just capitalize on that momentum. And I've shared a couple of posts through social media, but there's something of just hearing a voice or having it even tied all together that I hope this encourages, challenges, empowers you. I feel like I say the same things each time, but I mean it each time. I want to encourage, I want to challenge, I want to empower. I want to be a force behind you and pushing you into God's direction, pushing you into the direction He wants you to go, a companion along the way, however you want to see it. And so anyway, I really hope this encourages you as you are just asking the Lord what He wants to do. And so anyhow, excuse me, I had a conversation with a friend a while ago, and she shared a story from Luke. So the full story is Luke 5, 18 through 26. But the verses I'm going to read are just Luke 5, 18 through 19. And so it says, I'm reading from the Passion Translation. It says, some men came to Jesus carrying a paraplegic man on a stretcher. They attempted to bring him in past the crowds to set him down in front of Jesus, but because there were so many people crowding the door, they had no way to bring him inside. So they crawled onto the roof, dug their way through the roof tiles, and lowered the man, stretcher and all, into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. And as this friend was kind of sharing this story, you know, she's like, you know, she had heard it in a Bible study and been able to like look at it from different perspectives and directions and what that would look like today. And I have not stopped thinking about that story and thinking about what it looks like to have my roof torn off. What does it look like to say, God, if I can't get through the door, gosh darn it, I'm going to get through the roof. Like, you know, that wouldn't have occurred to, I mean, I don't know. And so the fact that these people, right, these friends, these these men said, oh, the roof. And they were not limited by what was a barrier. They were not limited by where there was no opening. They literally dug through the tiles. And I think as a homeowner, how expensive it is to put in a roof, how expensive it is to do these things. I mean, you know, we have hail, we have all these things, we have insurance, for goodness sake, to make sure that if anything comes to damage our property, that it can be repaired. And I think of how often we spend time and our resources protecting our things. And granted, there are things that, you know, the Lord wants us to steward. There's things the Lord wants us to protect. But how often are we comfortable to watch things be a little destroyed for the sake of the glory of God? And I think, and I think of, again, the word destruction. It's such a heavy word, and it can have such a negative connotation. But when I look at the word, I look at Jericho, I don't believe that when the trumpets and all the shouts came, that the bricks of the wall came down one by one. I think it was a loud bang. I think there was destruction, right? I think of the veil being torn when Jesus died. I think of so many different things that occurred throughout the Bible that had the hand of the Lord, and they were messy. And so often we avoid discomforts, we avoid messiness. Not only do we avoid it, we dismiss it as surely that must not have been the hand of God. And I want to take a moment to challenge us in a couple of different ways, in the ways that we protect things that God says, no, 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 surrender this to me. So looking at it as the homeowner, what are ways that the Lord is saying, surrender this to me? What does this look like? You know, how would we feel to have our roof torn off? Would we be able to say, Jesus, whatever it takes to get people to you, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to see your glory fulfilled, to see people healed? What does that mean? What does that look like? What are our limits? You know, what ways does God want to stretch us in the discomfort to make us open to experience an extraordinary move of God? In what ways, you know, does he want us to lay down our life, our possessions, our time, our comforts to bring people to Jesus? You know, what is representative of a roof for you, for me, in this season? You know, for me, one thing that the Lord, I mean, just continually challenges me on is my schedule. You know, we live in a world that is so busy, and it almost seems to encourage busyness. And the busier you are, you must be that much more important. And granted, you know, the word does talk about like laziness and all those other things, but there's something about busyness too, that our culture just eats up. And sometimes we just get sucked in by it and we fall right into the trap of busyness. And we busy ourselves with all these things that the Lord is like, hey, am I allowed to rewire, to change your schedule? Would you allow me? You know, what would we do if the Lord takes our planner and says, I don't want you to do that today? Like, would we freak out? Would we literally have a panic attack? Like, where, do you know what I'm saying? And so for some people, for me, that, you know, that my schedule was that at some points. In other seasons, excuse me, that was my home. I remember, I mean, even a couple of years ago, I would have my schedule of, okay, this is as many people as I feel comfortable in my home. This is, you know, the noise level I feel comfortable in my home. This is the mess level I feel comfortable in my home. And I was not very comfortable with a lot of people in my home. And over the years, the Lord has been growing and stretching that. And I have had the best time having people in my home, having my home get messy, having just, you know, all kinds of amazing experiences, because this thing that was once a limitation was now a vehicle for people to experience God in a new way, in a different way, in a deeper way. And so these are some of the different things that that God has been talking to me. These have been kind of some of my roofs over the years. And the Lord keeps challenging me with this. And I feel like he's just asking again, and he's stirring something within the body about the roof and about a torn roof. And so often, you know, we talk about structure, we talk about different things, but sometimes I think we forget what it means to live with an open roof. You know, what does that look like? What does that look like to have our homes, our churches, our communities, our families, our personal life look like an open roof, an open heaven, just complete access, complete surrender to the Lord and saying, God, I'm surrendered to you. And so I want to challenge you as a homeowner, so to speak, as the owner of, you know, this temple. You know, we're not the masters of the temple, but we are temples, you know, where the Lord resides. And so what ways does God want to tear down some roofs? But I also want to challenge us as friends of hurting people. You know, this person, this paraplegic man, had some legit friends. I mean, that's awesome. To have friends that are saying, you know what, dude, we're going to go tear off the roof of this guy's house, like this stranger. I mean, I don't know if they knew the guy, but they tore off somebody else's roof. It wasn't even their own roof. Somebody else's roof, because they were so resilient and determined to have their friend experience the fullness of Jesus. Y'all, that, I want friends like that. I want friends that are willing to do whatever it takes, walking out the fullness of obedience, walking out the fullness of the mandate of the Lord to love. And Jesus said it himself, love looks like laying down your own life. That's pretty uncomfortable and sacrificial if you ask me. And how often do we put limits on our love? And we're like, well, I'm not going to do that, or I can't do that, or I wouldn't dare to do that. And yet these people said, whatever it takes, man, we can't get through the door. You know, I don't know if they had windows in back then or whatever, but we can't get through here. Let's see. What's another way we can get through the house? Let's do the roof. Like, they didn't even think of the wall, like tearing down a wall. They're, you know, to have to go up on a roof, like there's more obstacles there, I guess. They crawled onto a roof and they dug their way through the roof tiles. And then they lowered him in. That's a lot of physical labor. If you've ever had to get onto a roof, mess it up, and then lower somebody in. Like, I mean, who's just carrying all those extra tools around, you know? And so I think about these things and I'm like, wow, I want to be like that. I want to be that friend. I want the Lord to challenge me, not just as a homeowner, but as a friend that says, am I willing to do whatever it takes to see the people that I am carrying, to see the people that I am walking with experience the fullness of Jesus? What does that look like? Lately, I've been talking to some young adults of just hunger, and God's been talking to me about this. And what does it mean to be hungry? What does it mean to be passionate? What does it mean, to desire? And so as I've been kind of contemplating hunger and appetite, even trying to get healthier, that's been on my mind. I think about actions, and I think about how actions are usually a product of motivation. And motivation, external or internal, is a product of either a craving or desire or a need or depravity, right? So, you know, think of a pregnant woman. When she wants her mac and cheese or her pickle and chocolate ice cream in the middle of the night, she's gonna fight for it. She has a craving. She has a deep longing desire, and she's gonna make it known. And so she'll fight for that. Likewise, when she has an aversion and she's like, oh my gosh, I cannot stand the smell of that, I'm gonna puke, she will fight to make sure that smell is not 20 feet near her, right? And so the greater either our desire or our depravity is, the harder we usually fight and the more resources we put towards that fight. And with that, the more we're actually willing to sacrifice because of that. And I think of the way that, you know, individuals with addictions, they have a deep craving for a substance. And they are willing to sacrifice some pretty hefty things. Sometimes they sacrifice family. Sometimes they sacrifice conviction. Sometimes they sacrifice some things because this desire, this is so intense, okay, that their whole body and being has been rewired. Their mind, their physiological state, their chemical composition, their tolerance has been so rewired by this craving. And I think of Matthew 6:21, it says, for your heart will always pursue what you value as your treasure. I think about that. I think of the way that our hearts, excuse me, pursue what we value. You know, what do we value? What do we want? What are we hungry for? And how are our actions a reflection of that? Are we hungry enough for some things? Are we hungry enough for the move of God? Are we hungry enough to see the people that are hurting around us experience the fullness of what God has for them? Is that what we value? Is that where our treasures are? You know, and again, on this subject of food, I think of the way that our experiences shape us, right? And so you go to a restaurant
and you have the bomb.com experience, right? Best experience of your life. You know, I'm into Thai food right now. Like, I am obsessed with curry, and I have this place I go to, and I love it. Great experiences, amazing time, good food. And so that fuels my love for curry. It fuels my love for Thai food. Yet on the flip side, I've had some pretty horrible experiences in some restaurants. So bad that it not only made me not want to go to that restaurant, it made me completely say no to that food group altogether. And so again, we have similar experiences with relationships, with church, with school, with life, with God. And we often let our experiences dictate our appetites and motivation. And really, we become a slave to that experience. And I think of the way that, Lord, where have we experienced great discouragement, great disappointment? Where have we experienced the great move of the Lord? Where have we experienced things, and how are our experiences dictating our hunger versus obedience dictating our hunger? Your word dictating our hunger, our motivation, our appetite, the allocation of our resources. So often we look at previous success to say how we're going to do something next, but that's not the resiliency that God talks about. God doesn't say, oh, you didn't get the thing that you wanted. Well, don't do it again. No, he says, pray without ceasing. Rejoice in the Lord always. He has these truths that he has spoken that are irregardless of circumstance, outcome, or experience. I don't know if I use the word irregardless correct, but anyway, sounded pretty cool in my head. So we have these moments. And I feel like the Lord, you know, as a community, we've been talking about revival for some time, and people have been talking about personal revival, and there's so many different things that this looks like. And, you know, and I heard this past weekend, just amazing, amazing teaching. And there's these questions, of, Lord, is there any way that we are quenching this? Is there any way that we're missing something? Is there any way, like, God, correct us, align us, make us hungry? And so I want to pose these questions out here. I want to challenge you guys. I want to get you guys thinking. I want to get you guys praying. I want to get you guys looking inward. I'm going to share another scripture. Matthew 11:12. I mean, clearly I've been using the Passion Translation a lot, but I also love the Amplified just because it gives all these nuggets. So I'm going to read both. So Matthew 11:12 in the Passion Translation says, from the moment John stepped onto the scene until now, the realm of heaven's kingdom is bursting forth, and passionate people have taken hold of its power. And the footnote here says, the kingdom of heaven is entered into by force, and violent ones take hold of it. This is one of the most difficult passages in Matthew to translate from the Greek. When the Greek words are translated into Hebrew, it becomes a clear reference to Micah 2:12-13, and includes the breaking forth. And then if you read it in the Amplified version, it says, and from the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it by force as a precious prize. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. I don't think I've ever seen more like passionate words in the same sentence. You know, precious, sought after, ardent, zeal, intense, exertion. I mean, holy cow, that's amazing. And I'm like, Lord, are we willing to step into a little messiness? Are we willing to step into a little destruction? Are we willing to step into a little intensity, a little discomfort, or a lot
for your glory, to grab a hold of your kingdom, to grab a hold of personal revival, to grab a hold of healing, not just for ourselves, but for those we're caring. And so I want to leave you with this. Ask God, what's your roof? Ask God, who's your paraplegic? Ask God, what are your discomforts? And ask him what he wants to do about it. I think it's in Isaiah, but you know, the word talks about, like, is there anyone willing? Is there someone who will say yes? And guys, I don't want to be caught snoozing like one of the virgins that Jesus talked about. I don't want to be caught snoozing. I want to be ready. And I want to know if you're ready. Are you ready to take the kingdom, to seize this day, to seize the things that God is doing by force, to enter it by force, to press into it, to be resilient? And I'm not talking about an ungodly force. I'm not talking about control or manipulation. I am talking about holy zeal and resilience that says, I'm not taking no for an answer, because Jesus, I want more of you, and I want my whole community to experience more of you. An enemy? Not today. Not today. I'm not taking your lies. I'm not taking your limitations. I'm not taking your whatevers. Not today. I got too much the Lord has for me to enjoy fully in abundance in this life for me to sit around paralyzed by your garbage. And so, again, press in, ask him, God, do I have a roof that I'm totally uncomfortable having people tear? Do I have a friend that I am too shy or whatever to press in, to experience the fullness of the healing you have for them? Ask him how he wants to move you. Ask him how he wants to use you in your home, in your family, in your workplace, in your church, in your community, in your neighborhood, you name it, in all of the circles of influence that you have. These are all ministry places that we have. And so I want to leave you with that. I hope this was encouraging. I hope this was challenging. And I just want to take a moment even just to speak or to break off guilt. This is not a message to guilt anyone or to make you think that you have failed or whatnot. This is a message to press deeper into God. This is a message that wherever areas we do need to repent, that we absolutely repent, but that we do not take on guilt, but we take on the power that Holy Spirit has given us to see the things that God wants done on this earth accomplished. So don't sit here listening to what I'm not saying, and grab a hold of what the Lord is wanting to do and minister, and say, enemy, not today. I'm no longer going to believe these lies about myself, about my circumstance, about my situation, about my community, about my fill in the blank. And I'm going to step into the discomfort. I'm going to step into the struggle. I'm going to embrace this pain for the sake of the glory of God. I'm going to press in to the messy, to the destruction, to the whatever, to see the full move of God. I will have no limitations before the Lord. I will have no closed roofs, no closed doors, no closed windows before God. I'm fully exposed to him, and I'm fully surrendered, and I want him to use all of me. So again, I hope this encouraged you. I hope this challenges you. I hope this leads you to press into him in a new way and experience a new level of freedom and a new level of activation. And I just thank you guys for listening. And so I'm excited to see what God is doing. And I speak a blessing over each of you, over what the Lord is doing in your neck of the woods, And I hope you guys have an amazing rest of your day.